Of course, as Brother Don has already mentioned, we are talking about heaven's vocabulary, and we're going to be looking at words and phrases that have spiritual significance. Obviously, you think about the Word of God, every word is important. There's no doubt about that. Every word of God is important, and God did such a wonderful job in writing the Word of God for us so that we can turn and listen to it. And it's very concise. We look at it and say, well, it looks kind of long, but can you imagine telling the history of the world for man, especially as it relates to our salvation? And God did that in such a precise manner, and it's a wonderful thing that we have the opportunity to study the Word of God. But as we say that, we also recognize there are going to be certain words that jump out, that have great spiritual significance. And so that's what we're going to turn our attention to this morning. And I'm reminded of what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. Listen to this. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That sets forth what we're going to try to do in this lesson this morning and throughout the weekend. It's going to be our job to speak as the oracles of God. When we stand before you, we should not present our words, our thoughts. We need to turn our attention to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What did God have to say on any given subject? And brethren, that's what we're looking at. That's what we're going to turn our attention to. And so if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, of course, we're going to turn our attention to, and I appreciate Brother Don giving me the greatest, in my estimation, sermon throughout the weekend, is to be able to stand up and talk about the honor of preaching the Word of God. Let's turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to notice, of course, what the Apostle Paul writes to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Paul writes, I charge. Now, I want to pause right there and point out, we're talking about a divine charge. This is what God has said. This is what God has said through the Apostle Paul to a young man by the name of Timothy. And he says that I am giving you a divine charge. And brethren, we need to charge, don't we? Stop backing off when error is presented, and we need to be willing to charge. We need to stop waffling about certain things. We're living in a time right now when we look around and the world no longer wants to hear sound doctrine. Of course, that's not a new thing. People have never really wanted to hear the Word of God, because the Word of God tells them that so many times what they're doing is wrong, and so people don't want to hear the Word of God. And so we live in a time when people don't want to hear it, but we need to preach it. And so Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that's the alive, and the dead, and his appearing in his kingdom. Listen carefully to verse 2. And now listen to what he says. Preach the word. Preach the word. Now, first of all, we understand we're obligated to preach. We as God's people, you know, we live again in a time when there's so much drifting away from the Word of God, and people want to have, not the preaching of the Word, but they want somebody to get up and act things out for us. You know, we're so movie-oriented and so entertainment-oriented that just the simple Word of God is not enough for so many people. So we have drama and we have skits, and I say we, not us necessarily, but you understand what we're saying. And so we've got all these things going on around us. You know, Paul was very familiar with the Grecian world, and the Grecians were known for their dramas and things like that. And Paul didn't say, get up and act out the Word of God. Get up and present a skit. Let's have a drama. No, what did Paul say? Preach the Word. And then he said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why, Paul? Why should we preach the Word? Why should we be instant in season and out of season? He says in verse 3, for the time will come. Well, that time is on us. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after, he says, their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And there's always going to be somebody scratch it, right? If you got an itching ear, there's going to be somebody that's willing to scratch that ear, especially if you've got enough money. And then they'll surely scratch your ear. So he says they're going to have itching ears. And he says in verse 4 that they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they are going to be turned unto fables. And so what people are going to do is they're not content with hearing the Word of God, and they want to get into fables. I think it was Brother Johnny Ramsey that said one time that one of the most often asked question that he got about the Bible is, where did Cain get his wife? You know, we get focused on something like that. And when it comes to the plan of salvation, men can't tell you the plan of salvation, but they want to know where Cain got his wife. I think Brother Johnny Ramsey responded to that one time by saying, I have enough trouble keeping up with my own wife. I'm not worried about somebody else's. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard. And so we've got this thought. People are going to turn away from the truth, and they're going to be turned unto fables. Verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, he says, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof, he says, of thy ministry. And so notice, first of all, that we as gospel preachers have a charge that comes directly from God. What an amazing thought. This is not something that the great nation of America has told us, you know, I want you to do this. That would be an honor to be able to do that. But this is a charge that's far beyond that. This comes from God Almighty. And so he says the charge that we are given is to preach the Word. Now, the word that Paul uses for preach, and I'm not a Greek scholar. Some of these guys sitting over here can probably say this better than I can. But I would say caruso is the word that he uses here. And it's used in the Greek language to describe someone who is a herald, a public crier. You know, they didn't have newspapers and radio and television like we have now. And so they had someone that would get up and announce important events. And they were called the town crier. And so he would stand up and he would announce to the community the things that needed to be mentioned. Kenneth West wrote this about the word. He says, at once that word would call to Timothy's mind the imperial herald, the spokesman of the emperor, proclaiming in the formal, grave, and authoritative manner which must be listened to, he says, the message which the emperor gave him to announce. And then West goes on to say, this should be the pattern for preachers today. Our preaching, he says, should be characterized by that dignity which comes from the consciousness of the fact that he is an official herald of the King of Kings. It should be accompanied, he said, by the note of authority which will command the respect, careful attention, and proper reaction of the listener. And then West finished it with this line, and I love this line. He says, there is no place for clowning in the pulpit of Jesus Christ. You know, we have those that are entertainers when it comes to what they say when they get into the pulpit. And I think West had it exactly right. We don't need somebody to get up and entertain us. We need somebody to get up and preach us the Word of God. Now, let's stop for a moment and think about preachers and preaching. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse number 15. John chapter 1, of course, this great chapter on Jesus Christ, who in the beginning was with God, and he was God. But again, he goes down to verse 15, and notice what we find. John 1, beginning in verse 15. John bare witness of him, that is Christ, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he says in verse 18. And keep in mind, we're talking about preachers and preaching. Now notice what he says in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Now notice this. He hath declared Him. Now what did Jesus do? Jesus came and declared the Father. We need to understand these verses indicate that we must teach others God's plan of salvation. We must teach the truth. The Bible is very clear that Christianity is a taught religion. We don't become Christians by osmosis. We don't become Christians because of our lineage. We don't become Christians by accident. The only way that we become a Christian is by hearing the teaching of the Word of God. And so what is the responsibility of the preacher? He's got to declare God so that men can understand who God really is. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want us to begin our reading in verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I'm going to chase a rabbit just a minute on that one. Just stop for a moment and think about it. Have you ever seen a mansion? Well, all of us have seen a mansion. You see some pretty nice houses just driving over here to the church building. And so imagine a mansion. And then imagine a house that is full of many mansions. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? God's house, there are many mansions. And then he said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, Jesus said, ye know, and the way ye know. Of course, then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 6. I am the way. Do you want to know how to get to the Father? Don't follow your mother, as Brother Marshall Keeble said. Don't follow your mama. Follow Jesus. He's been there. He's been there. And so he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and hath seen him. And so Jesus is telling us that he is coming to declare before us God. We can see God by looking at Jesus Christ. Well, that ought to tell us, brethren, that preaching is important. Paul proclaimed the Word of God, and Paul preached to a young man, and he said, you need to preach the Word of God. And so preaching is important. As we've already pointed out, we are to preach the Word. We have that divine charge. I want to quote a little bit from Brother Marshall Keeble. I'm sure that most of you recognize that name. Brother Marshall Keeble would say in some of his sermons, he would say, the Bible is right. You can go home and fuss at me. And he said, you can, let me read that. You can go home and fuss all night, but the Bible is right. He said, you can walk down the streets and call Keeble a fool, but the Bible is right. He said, if we all die and go to hell, the Bible is still right. Brethren, that's it. The Bible is right. Brother Keeble said, it took light to lead wise men to Christ, and a light will lead wise men to Christ today. He said on one occasion, don't follow your mama, follow Jesus. He knows how to get to heaven. He's made the round trip. Your mama don't know the way to heaven. She's never been there. He would say on one occasion, Jesus has given the gospel as a signpost directing the way. If you've got the signpost, you've got the light of the gospel. No need running around in the dark. When you find the signpost, he said, you don't get down and pray, you follow the sign. Amen. He said a man don't get to the next town by getting out there and feeling the highway, why he'd get run over. Now don't try to go to heaven like that, get a road map. He said, you get to messing around out there and feeling around and you're going to get run over. He said, give honor to the word. The power is in the word. And still some people will stand up and say, he did it. He said, no, give the word the credit. The gospel is what does it, not man. He said to preachers, preachers need to preach the truth. He said, bear down on it. We don't need to make friends. We need to save souls. He also said, too many preachers have let the church make cowards out of them. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? The gospel, he said, has power, great power. All it needs is someone to preach it. Someone with the courage to tell it just like it is. And then he ended up by saying something like this. What does it mean to preach the gospel in season and out of season? He said, well, in season, by the way, brethren, that's not talking about football and baseball season, is it? I think we want to preach the word in season, but we don't want to, or when it's out of season, if the Super Bowl's not going on, we want to preach the word, you know. But if the Super Bowl's going, we've got to cancel our services, you know, or rearrange our services. We had that, a lot of that happen out at Abilene just not long ago when we had the Super Bowl. We had people visiting. Well, their congregation, they had canceled services. And I'm like, well, why do you go there? You know, I didn't say that to them. Maybe I should have, but I'm thinking, well, why are you still attending there? But he said, well, in season when they like it, out of season when they don't. And then he said, with many folks, the gospel is almost out of season today. Amen. And brethren, it's just gotten worse since the days that Brother Keeble was preaching. And so what is biblical preaching? Well, biblical preaching is just what it sounds like. It's preaching the Bible. It is preaching the words that are found in the Bible. We're preaching messages that are in line with the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what Paul writes beginning in verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. Paul says, but continue thou, now listen this, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. He says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now remember we said Christianity is a taught religion. You've got to be taught the truth. And so he said, now, Timothy, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned. Verse 15, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now notice that, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to say this, and I hope that you listen carefully. For far too long, we have allowed our Bible classes, especially the younger Bible classes, to be nothing more than a little time to entertain the children and so forth. Brethren, we need to start teaching the Word of God when our children are young. And we don't need to sit back and just entertain them in Bible class. We need to teach that. Why do you call it Bible class? You know, we're there to teach the Bible. And so we need to, Paul said, from a child. That word child can even be translated babe. And so Paul said, from a very babe, from an infant, Timothy had learned the truth. You know, the Catholics used to say, the Roman Catholics used to say, if you will give me your child for the first 7 years of their life, then we'll have them for the rest of their life. They'll always be a Catholic. Now, have we adopted that philosophy in the Lord's church? Give me your child for the first 7 years. Let me teach your child. And notice I said teach. Let me teach your child, beginning at cradle roll, all the way through the first 7 years of their life. And brethren, they ought to be ours for the rest of their lives. And if we did what we ought to be doing, they would be ours. But brethren, again, we've played with them and entertained them and so forth. And I'm not against Bible class. Don't misunderstand me. But let's do what we say. Let's do Bible class. Bible class. And that from a babe, he says, thou hast, now notice this, known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew the Scriptures even as a young child. Now notice this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 16. All Scripture. How much? All Scripture. Not just a part of the Scripture. He says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's the reason we said a moment ago that every word is important. Certainly some have more significance as we look at them, but brethren, every "and" in the Bible belongs there. God didn't want us to start taking out and adding to, did He? We'll look at that in just a moment. But He says, now all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect. Now I like the old King James here. Throughly furnished unto all good works. Throughly. That means all the way through, back and forth. God's Word will provide us everything that we need to live the life that God wants us to live. And brethren, if it will do that, why are we so afraid to teach it? It will give us everything that we need. Why do some get up and act like they're going to apologize before they preach the Word of God? I don't understand. Brethren, we should not back off of it one bit. As a matter of fact, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. We want to notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9. Listen to Jeremiah. He said, and I know, now you young preachers may not have been there yet, but now Jeremiah had been persecuted for preaching the truth. And he said, I am so sick of it. Verse number 9. I will not make mention of him, neither, he said, or nor speak any more in his name. Now listen to this. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Now can you imagine the zeal that Jeremiah had? He said, I cannot stop preaching the word of God. Someone has said, if you can do anything but other than preaching, then do it, because you don't have the zeal that you need to have to be a preacher of the gospel. Brethren, I cannot imagine if someone were to tell me you cannot preach anymore. I think I'd dry up and die. I really do. I can't imagine doing anything else. And you young preachers, you need to have that zeal in your heart. As a burning fire, he said, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, he said, and I could not stay. I could not stop preaching the Word of God. The true preacher then cannot stop preaching the Word. It is in his heart. And if a preacher believes the Bible is the Word of God, he will love it. He will study it, and he will fill his sermons with a thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Ezra said in Ezra 7 and verse 10 that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Brethren, we need to seek the law of the Lord. We need to do the law of the Lord. Now I'm going to pause there for a moment, because a lot of people, they want to seek it and teach it, but they don't want to do it. And that's not what Ezra said. He said, I sought it, and then I did it. And then he says, I taught in Israel statutes and judgment. Of course, if we're going to look at the model preacher, we need to look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached a message that demanded results. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I wish we had more time to spend in looking at Jesus as the model preacher. Jesus preached the Word. He preached it in season and out of season. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse number 20. Then Jesus began to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done because they repented not. Listen to verse 21. Now you want to talk about a preaching that demands results. Notice what He said. Woe unto thee, Carranza. Can you imagine Don getting on the television? Woe unto thee, San Antonio. What? Yeah, everybody say, what is wrong with this guy? What is that? Jesus said, woe unto thee, Carranza. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, listen to this, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What would God say? What would Jesus say to America? For all the great things that have been done in America, and we're turning our back on God. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Can you imagine that? Everybody understands what Sodom is. God wiped them off the map because of their immorality. And Jesus said to Capernaum, He said, if the works that were done here had been done in Sodom, it would still be standing today. Oh, what a powerful message. Verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be no more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Jesus Christ demanded results when He preached. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We want to notice what we find in verses 8 and 9. Though He were a son, talking about Jesus, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Now notice this, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. Listen to Him, unto all them that obey Him. Don't tell me you don't have to obey the Word of God to go to heaven. Jesus had a different message. As a matter of fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, come unto me. Now notice the language, come unto me. Jesus demanded results. Jesus challenged us. So He said, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you, He said. Learn of me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Those are the words that Jesus preached. And so we need to pause for a moment and ask, well, what if we don't preach the Word? What's going to be the end result of that? Preachers, I want you to listen carefully. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You already know where we're going with this. Beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, I marvel. I am amazed, he says. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now notice, let's examine that. You have been removed from Him. We sometimes say, why did you leave the church? Maybe we ought to say, why did you leave the Lord? Now I know the Lord and the church, I understand that the church is His body. But I don't think people in the world get that. I don't think our own brethren get that. Why did you leave the Lord? And then they'll say, well, the church did this and the church did that. No, no. Look, what did Jesus do? I marvel, He said, that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, He says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you, listen to this, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Satan is no dummy, brethren. Satan is not going to get up here and come out with some far out, well, he does sometimes, but most people with common sense aren't going to buy it. And so he's not going to come up here with some ridiculous thing like, well, in order to go to heaven, you got to climb to the moon on your hands and knees. He's not going to do that. Why? Because he's not dumb. So what does he do? He perverts the gospel. He changes the gospel. He takes some of the gospel and then he adds something to it. And so what you have no longer is the gospel, but a perverted gospel, he says. Now listen to verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven. Now notice that. You watch these so-called preachers on television. Oh, an angel spoke to me. An angel told me this. An angel told me that. What did Paul say? He said, I don't care if it's a man. I don't care if it's an angel right out of heaven. Listen to this. If any man, he says, preach unto you a different gospel, let him be accursed. Listen to verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. What a wonderful thing to be able to preach the gospel of Christ. And I want to thank all the men who have helped me in my life to be a better preacher of the Word of God. We've got one sitting over here, Brother Taylor. I'm indebted to him for the years of service that he's done in helping me to be a better preacher. And there are a lot of others that we could name as well. Gospel preachers must recognize that we have a divine charge to preach the Word. No greater responsibility could be placed within our hands. In preaching the Word, we must lift up the Christ. Someone said one time, get thee behind me, Jesus. And that seems to be the way some preachers are. Don't show me Jesus, show me yourself. No, we need to show people Jesus. Preaching is important. We must preach the Word without fear or favor. We must preach the Word with authority. We must preach the Word with fire in our bones. We must prepare our hearts and minds to preach the Word. We must preach the Word in a way that will lead people to repent. We must preach the Word to lift up Jesus. We must preach the Word to seek and save the lost. We must preach the Word to lead people to be obedient to the gospel. We must preach the Word because sin is real. We must preach the Word because the wages of sin is still death. We must preach for results. Brethren, when it's all said and done, we must preach the Word. Thank you.